Bicentennial 3.
Welcome to Bicentennial 3. This is the third in a series featuring guest speakers from America's Midwest discussing the impact of ethnic groups on the formation of our American civilization. Bicentennial 3 is a production of the Humanities Series, Midwestern Center, funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities. In this third program, Professor Patrick Mullen of Ohio State University talks about Appalachian culture in Ohio.
Appalachian people have a living folk tradition made up of songs, tales, beliefs, customs, crafts, cooking, and other kinds of folk expressions. This heritage is based on the folklore brought from England, Scotland, and Ireland by the people who settled in the southern Appalachians, and it developed its own distinctive qualities through many generations of isolation in the mountain region. The folk culture associated with Appalachia does not stop at the Ohio River. Southeastern Ohio contains the same types of folklore found across the river. Migrations from Kentucky and West Virginia have reinforced the Appalachian cultural strains in Ohio. Families often have close ties in all these states. Migration has also occurred from rural areas of Kentucky, West Virginia, and southern Ohio into Ohio cities such as Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, and Cleveland, bringing some aspects of Appalachian folk culture with it. I would like to present a sampling of Appalachian folk expressions as they exist in Ohio today, in order to show their variety and vitality, as well as indicating the wisdom and creativity of the people who carry on the folk traditions. The material was collected by myself and by folklore students at Ohio State University, from rural people in southeastern Ohio and from Appalachian migrants in the cities. In each case, I shall present the folklore and folk life in the words of the people themselves as transcribed in interviews from field collections. The ballad singing tradition does not seem to be as vital in southern Ohio as it is in Kentucky, West Virginia, and the rest of the southern mountains, but ballad collectors Mary O. Eddy and Ann Grimes have found many ballads in the state. There were ballad singers who settled in Ohio, but many of the ones I have heard migrated into the state from Kentucky and West Virginia. General Custer Nicholas, an elderly singer from near Carrollton, Ohio, learned the songs that he sings as he was growing up in West Virginia. He brought the songs with him when he moved to Ohio, and the folk song tradition has stayed alive in his family with his sons and grandsons all singing and playing traditional music. The following is General Custer's version of the Ballad of Jay Legg.
This is about a man that rode a log raft down Elk River, and when he returned, he was murdered. Come all ye brave Elk River boys, some shocking news you'll hear. We have lost one of our river boys, and the one to us so dear. He started out all on the tide, as he'd often done before, not a known that it was his last long ride. He would never start no more. There was a man who stayed with his wife each night that he was gone. They laid a plot to murder him as soon as he come home. Poor Jay come home one cold winter day, both cold and hungry too. He didn't have time to sit down and warm till a bullet pierced him through. He cast his eye on his little child, while his mouth with blood was filled, and the only word that he ever spoke was, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, I'm killed." His little child picked up his head as his lifeblood dipped away, and to his mama he did say, "What made you kill poor Jay?" "Was an accident," she said, and did not seem to fear, for she thought that her own false statement would bring her out so clear. Now Jay is dead and in his grave, and his troubles on earth is done, while his wife lay in Clay County Jail and her trouble just begun.
General Custer learned this ballad in West Virginia, but he has been singing it for many years in Ohio. There are other kinds of folk music besides ballads which were brought to Ohio by migrants from the mountains. Religious songs were important in Kentucky, and they continued to be significant in Ohio. Religious folk music is a part of the repertoire of Pete Steele, a traditional banjo player from Hamilton, Ohio. He was born in Kentucky, but settled permanently in Hamilton in 1937. Alan Lomax recorded Pete and his wife, Lily, for the Library of Congress Folk Music Archives in 1938. They were recorded again in 1957 by Ed Kahn for Folkways Records. The following interview and songs were taken from the Folkways recording.
Banjo music is my favorite music and hits my talents. And I like the five-string banjo. I've played it ever since I was 6 years old and learned on a little homemade banjo about 2.5 feet long. A squirrel hide made the head. My dad took my mother's sifter rim and made my rim and put me some wire brackets on it. Put me some strings on it, alla-thread strings, twisted them different sizes, beeswaxed them, they sounded pretty. I couldn't run the instrument very high, but I had some awful good music. I played with my father, he's a violin player. I played with him till I got up 14 years old, and a fella come along one day and had a little banjo, a brought-on banjo. And my dad gave him 2 hands of tobacco for that little banjo for me. I thought I was a rich man then. And we played on from that till I got up grown and I got me a good banjo. And I've kept my banjo music going from the boyhood days on up till now, and I'm 66 years old now.
I heard someone once say, you know, they always used to say that the banjo is a devil's instrument.
Well,
what do you think about that?
They are not. The music will run the devil off. If you go in where there's music and you're mad, you'll have to go. You can't stay. That music will run the devil off. You cannot. You can't go and get mad where music is and stay. You'll have to leave. If you don't get in a good humor, you'll just have to leave. It can't be the devil's instrument. Furthermore, I play it in churches. I've converted many people with my five-string banjo.
Galilee, this sacred thought enraptures me.
Pete's comments on religion and music and the two hymns, Galilee and the Unclouded Days, show that religion has not lost its meaning for him. Perhaps the folk song tradition is weakening, but instrumental string band music is stronger than ever in southern Ohio. One group, the Ohio Valley String Band from Portsmouth, is made up of banjo, guitar, bass, and two fiddles. Part of the band continues a family tradition with the grandfather on one fiddle, his son on the other fiddle, and his granddaughter playing guitar and singing. They play at picnics, barn dances, local festivals, and sometimes on local radio. The barn dance tradition is still alive in southern Ohio. One place near West Union is very popular among local residents on the weekend. They have a variety of music from old-timey string bands to modern country and western. One of the musicians who plays around West Union is Sam Bowles. Sam is originally from Kentucky, but he makes his home in Ohio now. He learned to play the fiddle, banjo, dobro, and guitar from traditional musicians as he was growing up. From the base of folk music, he developed his style through the influence of recorded hillbilly music. The following is an excerpt from an interview with Sam where he talked about his musical influences. The collector asked him, "When was it that you started playing?" "When I was about 6 years old." "And what instrument was it that you started on?" "Well, the first instrument that I learned to play on was the violin, and then from that to a banjo, and then from that to a guitar. Just kept on increasing the proposition." "What musicians did you hear when you were starting to play that you liked?" "Well, at the time, I listened to a lot of bluegrass music from Nashville, Tennessee, such as, well, I can't remember all of them, but Maynard's Mountaineers was one, and Bill Monroe, and, well, they had a group on that they call the Fruit Jar Drinkers, and, I don't know, any sort of those from Nashville, Tennessee." "Did you ever listen to any people who were playing blues music?" "Well, not too much, no. I used to listen to Jimmy Rogers records when he was famous, but that's about all of the blues music that I've paid too much attention to at the present time." "How did you first get to the point where you came out of playing in the country and got into playing for a little more wider audience?" "Well, the reason why I did, I didn't know at the time that the majority of people was enjoying the type of music that I was playing. But otherwise, I was in the country and I was walking up and down the road playing music, I and a buddy of mine. So then I got to playing for dances, square dances, so forth like that. And it made a little wider spread to it, see? Well, I got to going. They got to picking me up for dances and bigger congregations. And the first thing you knowed, I was pretty much on the line of being away from the country. But I went to the town, but I didn't let the country go out of me. I always kept the style of the country. It makes no difference where I was." Here is Sam Bowles playing Great Speckled Bird. Sam Bowles comes from a folk community, and he learned the music in a traditional way. Not all of the musicians and singers performing folk music in Ohio today have this traditional background. Many young musicians are part of the current folk music revival of old-timey, early hillbilly, and string band music. They're often from cities and never heard traditional Appalachian music until they were college age, but they love and respect the music, and they are recreating it in a way that is faithful to its roots. One such group is the Hot Mud Family from Spring Valley, Ohio. They are responsible for spreading the knowledge and popularity of traditional music to college campuses all over the state. Also, they have brought attention to forgotten traditional musicians. They brought an old-timey fiddle player named Van Kidwell out of retirement to record with them. He now appears with them at many of their concerts. You heard the Hot Mud Family at the beginning of this lecture. Here they are again doing a traditional hymn, Going That Way, which they learned in Beech Mountain, North Carolina.
The glorious news I'll shout and sing is there I go. So those who are still astray and sin, my Savior will know. I know I shall walk and talk above some beautiful day. All glory to him who died for me. I'm going that way.
I'm going that way.
I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, Savior, I adore is with me each day.
I'm clinging to him.
I'm clinging to him and never astray and never astray and singing his praises all day long. I'm going that way. I know I shall meet him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet him face to face in glory at last. And I believe that when we meet, the well done he'll say, for trusting his soul, redeeming love, I'm going that way.
I'm going that way.
I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, Savior, I adore is with me each day.
I'm clinging to him.
I'm clinging to him and never astray and never astray and singing his praises all day long. I'm going that way.
One form of folk expression which has not only survived but gotten stronger in the urban environment is the music. It has changed considerably, of course, but folk music elements are still at the core of much country and western and bluegrass. Columbus is a good example of a city where country music has thrived among migrants from southern Ohio and the Appalachian region, and it has thrived on many different levels from the highly commercial to the grassroots. Every few weeks, a show featuring the top names in country and western music comes to the large downtown auditorium and usually plays to capacity crowds. There are several country and western bars and clubs that also bring in national talent on a regular basis. In the summer, there is an outdoor music ranch just outside of Columbus. There are also outlets for local bands, and the smaller bars feature bluegrass. South Parsons Avenue, which runs through an Appalachian neighborhood, has numerous bluegrass bars where local bands appear regularly. Many of these bands only play on weekends, and the members have regular day jobs during the week. One band, which plays at a bar and grill on North High Street, has among its members a barber and a truck driver. The barber is originally from Kentucky, but he spent part of his youth in the Portsmouth area of southern Ohio, and he now makes Columbus his home. He learned to play the fiddle in a traditional style as he was growing up. He later became a bluegrass fiddler and mandolin player. He earns an extra supplement to his income as a barber, but the music gives him pleasure and enjoyment which his regular job never could. The following excerpt from an interview I had with him indicates his feelings about music now, as well as the source of his feelings in his traditional family background in Kentucky.
I never did care to be a professional musician. A lot of people like to golf on the weekend or play ball or tennis or chess or what have you. I just grew up since as a kid being around music, and I just like to play music as a hobby and fun.
Yeah. You never thought about doing it professionally at all?
Never did.
Because I think you're good enough to.
Well, thank you. I'd been playing music since I was 5 years old. Started out with the banjo ute, working and singing tenor with my mother and dad in church bands, different sort of churches. And I did that for a while, and I don't remember how old I was when I quit doing that. And I had played I quit playing the uke and I started getting into the violin with the old-time fiddle tunes. And my dad came out of Elliott County, Kentucky, and way back there they were shut off from most anything close to civilization. They were hill farmers, and mostly their entertainment was just getting around together with people, and they'd be helping each other harvest some of their crops, and maybe have a dance afterwards and have some music, and they would maybe have an old battery radio that they could only listen to maybe on Saturday nights to once in a while, because they're saving the energy, you know, for the battery. And they didn't have any electric lines back through there to get radio where they could get more music, so they did a lot of their own.
From this involvement with country folk music at an early age, his interest evolved into bluegrass, which is predominantly what he plays now. The roots of bluegrass are in the kind of music he grew up with, so that there is a continuum of musical interest which is a basis for his identity. Many people in his usual audience have the same background, and the music means a lot to them too. This is another reason why the music has retained a significant place in the lives of country people in the city. D.K. Wilgus and Bill Malone have noted this before, but when you're a part of the audience at a bluegrass bar on Saturday night in Columbus, you can see and feel it for yourself. The following recording features Lake Bricky on mandolin with a group he played with called the Be Natural Boys doing Salty Dog Blues.
Sitting on a log, singing a song about a salty dog.
Honey, let me be your salty dog. Let me be your salty dog. I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog.
Now look at Michelle, I know you. Run out, stocking that worn out shoe. Made a man of honey, baby, this round of mouth as sweet as any honey.
Honey, let me be your soda. Let me be your soda dog. I will be your man at all. Honey, let me be your soda.
Shake yours and I'll shake mine.
Honey, let me be your soda dog. Let me be your soda dog. I won't be your man alone. Honey, let me be your soda dog.
Now two old farmers got in row. One caught the other one loving his sound.
Let me be your soda dog. There needs to be more collecting and study of Appalachian folklore and folklife in both rural and urban areas of Ohio in order to establish similarities and differences with the folk cultures of the Southern Mountains. But beyond the academic interest, understanding of Appalachian folk culture in Ohio has significance for the people themselves. Folklore can be used as a basis for cultural identity and group pride. This is especially important since many Appalachians come into conflict with the mainstream culture, which views them in negative stereotypes. There are specific ways in which a knowledge of folklore can help solve community problems of Appalachian migrants. As Ellen Steckert has pointed out, a knowledge of folk medicine can help doctors and public health officials more effectively serve Appalachian people. Also, mountain folklore can be included in the curriculum of public schools in order to instill pride and stimulate interest among Appalachian children. We'll close out with an example of contemporary bluegrass in Ohio by Larry Sparks and the Lonesome Ramblers, Billy in the Lowground. This has been a brief and sketchy survey of the materials which exist in the field, but I hope that it might encourage more people to learn about Appalachian culture in Ohio and then to put their knowledge to use in serving the people. The students who collected much of this lore are the following: Dudley Radcliffe, Jackie Simer, Margaret McCoy, Priscilla Ronimus, Karen O'Quinn, Timothy Lloyd, Amy Heiler, and Richard Rose. I thank all of them. Thank you.
Bicentennial 3, The Appalachian Culture in Ohio, featured Professor Patrick Mullen of Ohio State University. On Bicentennial 4, Professor Roger Welsh will focus our attention on the German Russians in Nebraska. This series is produced at WHA, a service of the University of Wisconsin Telecommunications Center.